Hi, and welcome to another episode of Django Chat. I'm Carlton Gibson. I'm here as ever with Will.
Hi.
Hello, Will. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited today. I think we're going to be talking about conferences, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the conferences, what, in the Django scene, in the Python scene more widely, or just Django?
I think both of them. I mean, this is relevant because you just came back from giving the keynote at DjangoCon Europe, and I'm, as we record, about to head off to PyCon in the United States, which is 4,000 or something Python people. And yeah, there's a lot to say about conferences and attending them, watching the videos online. And so we're going to get into all that today. Maybe do you want to start off? So Django, right? There's a couple main Django conferences. There's DjangoCon Europe.
And DjangoCon US. DjangoCon US, I guess they could just call that DjangoCon. And then we have DjangoCon Europe. And then there's next year, there's going to be a DjangoCon Africa, which hopefully have an episode about that with some interviews I did at DjangoCon Europe in a few weeks when I get around to editing those. And then I think that's all the Django
Australia, right?
And there's like smaller Django.
Australia used to have a...
Oh, no, there's a DjangoCon Australia as well, which is part of PyCon Australia.
Yes, I think it's part of PyCon this year, but in the past it's been its own thing. But
is that right? I thought they've always tagged them together. Anyway, yeah, that's details. The point is that around the world in all these glamorous locations, there are these great conferences you can go to.
Yeah, and then on top of that, there's many, many more Python conferences, of which Django is obviously a big part of them. PyCon in the US being the largest one, but PyCon Australia, there's, we'll do in the show notes, PyCon.org. You can see conferences, regular meetups, literally every major city in the world. So there's a lot of things happening out there. So let's talk about what it's like to attend DjangoCon Europe. So you were just there, you were giving the keynote. So this is the big, you know, what is, I'll, you can talk maybe about being the Django fellow and giving a keynote, and I can talk about, I attended my first DjangoCon last fall sort of as a regular attendee, and we can compare and contrast those experiences.
Well, okay, you say I'm a regular attendee. I've been in the Django world for ever and ever, but it was only 2017 that I attended my first Django event, DjangoCon Europe in Florence, and I was just absolutely blown away. You know, this whole talk about I came for the language, I stayed for the community, I had no idea. And I went to DjangoCon and I was like, wow, this is what I've been missing. This is super. And, you know, what I always say about Django, it's got a community unlike others in tech, and it really is. It's inclusive and caring and just wonderful. And so 2018, I went to Heidelberg, and I gave my first conference talk there. And then I gave another little talk in DjangoCon US last year in San Diego. And then I submitted for the DjangoCon Europe this year, which was in Copenhagen, and they asked me to do the keynote, and I was one of the keynotes, and I was like, wow, fantastic, super honored, just amazingly honored to do that. So I gave the first talk, which was nerve-wracking, given that on the morning I got up and I ended up going to the wrong location. I looked on the website on my mobile phone, and I just typed in the first address I saw. I copied and pasted the first address I saw, and it was the venue for the sprints. So I'm like, just arriving on time, and there's nobody there. It's like a desert.
Oh my god, totally that's like deserted. Every bad dream ever about missing a test or something.
Yeah, except it was real. So instead of being at the conference drinking too much coffee, getting overly worked up at the venue, I was busy getting a sweat on, running down to the venue. But I made it in time, and it all went okay.
And those videos are up online now for DjangoCon Europe, which is, and this is something I want to promote in this podcast, is all the videos are online very soon thereafter. And in terms of, so you don't have to attend in person to get a lot out of these conferences. I mean, I watch a ton of these videos. These are some of the best intermediate, advanced level, some beginner tutorials out there on everything Django. They're unbelievable resource. And if just going by the number of views on YouTube, they're usually on YouTube, but they're criminally underused. I mean, it's only like a couple hundred or thousand for even the best talks. So we'll link to those. But so what is it like? So what's the experience like? You mentioned sprints. I mean, so when I went to DjangoCon, I didn't know what to expect. And it turns out there's tutorials for like a day or two, which are paid things you can often attend. So like half day workshops, there's 2 to 3 days of talks. And then a lot of times there's another two or so days of sprints where people are working on Django itself, right? Is DjangoCon Europe that same structure? Because that's DjangoCon US.
Yeah, exactly the same. Like you can go a day early. So I think on the Tuesday before DjangoCon Europe, there was a Django Girls workshop. I don't know if there were workshops before, but also during the main... So DjangoCon Europe is a single-track conference, which is lovely because you're all in the same room. You all go to the same talks. I really like it.
Oh, yeah. DjangoCon US is there's two tracks.
Yeah, two or three, like, you know, even.
But, I mean, it's rooms.
And that's
rooms,
fine, too.
Rooms right next to each other, so it's all right there. But
yeah, and there's also the hallway track as well. So if you're not in the talk, you're out busy talking. But, yeah, they have these same... they have workshops and then the sprints afterwards. The sprints, I always thought the sprints were for experts getting on with super expert hard thing, but it turns out that they're equally for people coming along and contributing to Django for the very first time. And so that's, you know, super. If you want to get involved in Django, come to the sprints. There'll be people to help you find a ticket, help you work on a problem. You can join in with somebody else's project. You can learn how contributing to open source works. So the sprints are phenomenal.
Yeah, I would love to do that this year. I didn't do that last year. And I think I felt as you did that, you know, who am I to contribute to Django, which we've done episodes on this. But I believe they organize the team. So it's designed to have a mix of, you know, someone who is quite experienced in the middle and beginners. And, you know, there's thousands and thousands of tickets. So there's something for everyone. So that's, I hope to do that. And that's it's good to encourage people, no matter your ability, to get involved and contribute back that way.
Yeah, and it's not in the bag yet, but I'm really hoping that for DjangoCon US this year in San Diego, we can have a I don't know what we call it, but a kind of workshop for people who are, when the sprints start, a workshop for people who are contributing for their first time or need a refresher, perhaps.
Oh, that would be a great idea.
We can offer a kind of group environment and a mentoring environment. And as I say, I don't know if that's done and dusted yet, but that's what I'm really hoping. Because at the sprints at DjangoCon Europe, I was helping lots of people, but I was doing it one-on-one and that doesn't scale. And I was, you know, I was absolutely exhausted and not getting around all the people that needed help. So if we can do it in a group environment more, that would be amazing. And then hopefully we can learn for that in future conferences.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. And hopefully I can help out in that. I mean, so in terms of size, so I mentioned PyCon is thousands of people. I think DjangoCon US was 400 or 500, maybe 600. Is DjangoCon Europe similar, mid-hundreds?
Yeah, like 370, 400, something like that. I think, you know, it's possible to make it bigger, but DjangoCon Europe's got this single-track thing, and it's not, it's really intimate, you know?
That's what I found. It's really almost everyone in the Django community who I'd heard about or read or seen work was there and just available, you know, either giving a talk or in the hallway and at meals. I found, the unstructured time was some of the best time, because you just sit down, have a coffee with someone. Who are you? Oh, I'm, you know, doing something really interesting with Django, or I'm new to Django, or and DjangoCon US, people are from all over the world. I'd say it seemed to, at least half the people were not from the United States, which was fantastic.
Yeah, and I think it, like at DjangoCon, one thing that's, you know, I've been to tech events in other communities and other technologies, and Django and Python as well, but, you know, Django particularly, the code of conduct's always in place. So, you know, you're never going to be threatened in a way that you might be at other tech events. And there's a expectation to be open and welcoming and to meet more people. And, you know, so you can go up to anybody and you can say hello, and that's expected, and people will come up to you and say hello. Whereas other tech environments I've been in, it's like, oh, I can't go and talk to anybody. And so for that, it becomes really friendly. And then you go to your second one, it's like, oh, wow, I haven't seen you since last time. And, you know, it's...
Yeah, I agree. I second that. I've been to a few tech events, and I think DjangoCon was the most friendly, the most welcoming, the most open, the most committed, as you said, to a code of conduct and trying to, you know, people very adamant about if there's someone doing something they shouldn't, to stop that. So it's a wonderful environment. I mean, so I went... So last year, I submitted to do a talk because I'd never been to a DjangoCon, and there is some expense involved. We should mention there's financial assistance they can offer if you're, you know, depending on your situation. So don't be put off by the fact that it's a couple hundred dollars to attend. In my case, I submitted a talk. I was fortunate enough to be accepted. It's pretty competitive for talks, but they want a wide spectrum. It's not just advanced people on advanced things. I mean, I really appreciated that there was beginner stuff, intermediate, you know, the full scope.
Yeah, and they're looking they're looking for first time speakers as well. So if it's your first time submitting a talk, you can say that in your application, and then there's a kind of allocation for that. And they're looking for community talks, which are non-technical, and then technical talks targeting each level, beginner, intermediate, advanced, as you said. So submit.
And I think, and I think too, it's, you know, on my journey of Django, I think the best time to teach something is when you're learning it. So for me, it's a little bit harder for me to give a beginner intermediate level talk because I've kind of internalized a lot of the things. So it takes a little more work to understand, oh, these are the points that are confusing for people. But if you've just, I mean, people will give talks, for example, if they want to learn something and they don't know it, they'll say, oh, I'll submit a talk on this. And then I'll be forced to, you know, become an expert in it. And going through that process, they'll be able to see all the gotchas that a beginner would go through. And I find those are the best talks when someone guides your hand and says, look, here's this tricky thing here, and here's how you get there. So in no way should people think you have to be an expert to give a talk. If anything, I think it's almost harder maybe to give a talk as an expert because it's easier to assume people are on your level when they're not necessarily with knowledge.
Yeah, and also who are you talking to, right? So the expert is always, not always, but the danger is that you're talking to the other experts. And right. Then your talk becomes more kind of uninteresting because it's too hard. And it's much better to give a talk that's targeting the beginner, the advanced beginner, the intermediate developer.
Yeah, everyone kind of looks up a little bit in level in terms of what they want to speak about and to whom. I mean, I remember, so my talk was on authentication, Django REST framework. And I remember being touched that you were in the audience. You came up and said hello before. You know, that's a perfect example, right? I mean, who am I? I barely know Django REST framework and the, you know, co-main maintainer and, you know, this big poobah is there in the audience. And, you know, but there's still things people got out of that talk at an expert level. And then a lot of beginner intermediates, I think just having someone go over the scope of whatever topic it is interesting. And I remember a lot of people came up to me after the talk asking really great questions. And, you know, if I could answer them, I would. And if I couldn't, because I had so many people ask me questions, I could connect them with other people. And that experience actually really brought about the idea of there should be a podcast on Django, because just my experience at DjangoCon itself was so illuminating and it was so interesting, and, you know, wanted to highlight chats about Django, you know, regardless of level of people.
No, I think that's
and exactly. people aren't putting on airs either. I mean, if people know something, they'll say it, and if they don't, you know, they'll say it too. So.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, and this, like, this is what you come to see is that the people who you've sort of held up as, oh, wow, that's so-and-so, and they've been contributing to Django for, well, since before version one, and they're just a normal person, and they're really nice and modest and humble and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exceedingly so. And I think the environment, too, is, you know, there's cocktail receptions and stuff, but a large number of people don't drink. There's no pressure around that, which when I was in Silicon Valley, there certainly was pressure to drink at tech events. So there's a really nice mix of, if you want to have some drinks, you can, but plenty of people don't. And everyone's just really, really nice. And so, you know, I came away from that experience really energized about Django, about the work that I was doing. People had read my book and told me about it, which was means a lot more than just seeing numbers on a screen. And so I heartily recommend going. It is an investment of time. There is a little bit of money, but it's a huge benefit. And you meet so many people, and those relationships continue on well after the conference.
Yeah. And then, as you said earlier on as well, there's the videos online. So, you know, you're constantly trying to learn and trying to develop and trying to build your skill base. And there's only so much reading of books you can do and whatnot. Those videos are super. And there'll be like half an hour long talk on... I don't know.
Everything.
Well, I'm just trying to think of one from DjangoCon Europe. So there's one on the security headers that you can set, that Django mm-hmm. will set for you, which make your website more secure. Well, Adam Johnson, who's one of the core contributors, gave a short talk at DjangoCon Europe in Copenhagen on the security headers. So, you know, you can watch that talk and all of a sudden you know what settings to set on Django and what they do and how they make your project more secure. And that was something you could do on the train or on the, you know, you could queue that up to watch it whenever.
Yeah, no, I make it a point to, I mean, maybe this is just me, but, and I can be obsessive, but I've watched all the DjangoCon videos from the last
I wasn't going to say.
But yeah, but again, the numbers of, if you look at the numbers of people viewing it, it is insanely low. It is so low. It is crazy. I mean, for example, I just found out that the talk I gave last year was one of the more popular talks at the conference, which is great to hear, but it only has 2,000-3,000 views online, which to me, you know, I mean, that's what we're getting like a week with this podcast. People are not looking at these videos. They're fantastic videos. You should go check them out. And often the slides are attached as well. And I mean, so this most recent DjangoCon Europe, Tom Christie, creator of Django REST Framework, had a really in-depth talk about sketching out Django redesign as the title, talking about async and the work he and others are doing to bring async to Django, to APIs. And but very educational, really walks you through like why does this matter? What are the challenges? What are the things he's working on? I mean, just a fantastically comprehensive talk. Because, that's an area for me that I'm not that knowledgeable about, but we're all going to need to be. And he really went through the full scope.
It's still new. And like, so, I had conversations at the conference about async around Tom's talk. And the question, well, why do we need this? Well, the first thing is there are some services which need the high throughput of an async service. And Python needs to have a solution there. So you can't, we shouldn't have to change language because we need an async solution, that we need these high throughput.
Yeah, Python services, has this, so Django can also
And then,
this,
so why should Django have it? Well, Django should have it at a basic level because it's the batteries included web framework, right? You shouldn't have to change web framework just to get the basic async endpoint. Now, maybe Django won't have all the async features in the world, and maybe there's a reason to step to a different async framework for that. But Django has to have a basic solution there because it's the batteries included Python web framework.
Yeah.
And that's why, so it's a kind of interesting development. And all of that came out of Tom's talk and,
Well, that brings up another thing about doing talks, which is that the review process is anonymous. So it's really not the case of, people picking their friends for these talks. It's the proposals are anonymously reviewed. So, just because you're some big name doesn't necessarily mean your talk will be accepted. And they intentionally want a wide variety of people. So that's meant to be an encouraging statement. I mean, I remember when I submitted my talk, I was, who am I? But they want first timers. They want regular contributors to Django, not just the same people at every conference.
Yeah. And, do submit. It's a great, it's not going to make you, it's a great way of boosting your profile. It's a great opportunity to do something. It's a great, learning opportunity. It's just super. But I mean, it's not going to give you anything in a way, you're not going to become famous or anything like that because it's Django.
Yeah, it doesn't take that long to submit either. No. I mean, at least DjangoCon US is, it's a title, it's a short description, and then a slightly longer description.
Yeah.
And then, quick, who are you? It doesn't take that long to do.
No, but
May 20th.
It's a growth opportunity. Yeah, so May 20th. May 20th this year.
May 20th, yeah. I mean, so you do need to get it in by that deadline.
And I hear you've already submitted. That's cheeky.
Well, this is why I mentioned the anonymous thing. So when you submit, they use a service called PaperCall, and there's an option to make your submission public, I guess, so you can share with family and friends or whatever. And so I did do a tweet saying, hey, I've just submitted, here's the title of my talk, which actually, so it's fine to say you submitted a talk, but putting the title in there abuses that anonymous process. So I took that tweet down. So that was a good lesson learned, because it shouldn't matter who I am for the talk. So submit the talk, do a tweet saying I submitted a talk and everyone else should, but it's not a popularity contest. So don't, I guess don't put the name of your talk in a tweet or a blog post.
Yeah, okay, because that undermines.
Was the takeaway.
Undermines the review process, but that's fine. I mean, I guess, so, and what else I talked about? We sort of mentioned it, but the important thing at the conferences is the hallway track as well. So, what's the fate? You're out there, what was your favorite talk? Oh, it was this one, and you build up and...
Yeah, that's what I saw the Django Luminaries I'd read online. They never seemed to be in a talk. They were just in the hallway the whole time. So there is, I think that is like the, after a couple, you realize the hallway track is the, because all the talks are online. So it's a mix for everyone. I mean, I sat in all the talks because that's how I am. But plenty of people say, oh, well, I'll go to a couple talks and I'll see the rest online. And, just the chance to have one-on-ones or go get a meal with someone is really what it's about. So any other, what else should we say? I mean, you should go to conferences, you should watch the talks, you should submit. They're not scary. It's incredibly friendly. People don't use these enough. The DjangoCon Europe talks are all out now on YouTube. There was one more we talked about beforehand, Doxert didn't happen. Did you want to highlight that one?
Yeah, Carl? It was super. It was by Mark Yarrell. It was another one of the day's keynotes. It was just super. It's like, about documentation and how you make your documentation stronger. And for me, it's one of the big things, because Django's open tickets, the number three category is documentation tickets. And, you know, Django's docs are just super. But if we could somehow focus on those and get that number down, that would be a massive chunk of tickets, which aren't necessarily technically difficult in themselves, but they need, again, love and time and effort. And, you know, so her talk, I really liked it. It's called Docs or It Didn't Happen. Again, that's available on YouTube now.
All right. Well, I think we've given our piece on this.
Yeah. No, I mean, we can go over and say the other things. Go to the conferences. They're great. Yay. But they are.
Yeah. All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening this week. We'll be back with future episodes on Django. And you can always go to DjangoChat.com or to Chat Django on Twitter. And please also, if you have questions or feedback, let us know. We only see numbers on a screen for this podcast, so we know it's resonating with people, but we love to hear personal feedback, good, bad, and all the rest about what you think.
All right. Bye-bye. Join us next time.